Polish. That's the way we got into how they got into Poland, because it was still kind of under communism control. And then, of course, through that all, we started a school. So when I talk about AIM, I'm talking about the organization, and then I'm also talking about GTE, or Gateway to English. So most times I refer to my time over there in Poland as serving under GTE, or Gateway to English. That was our school name, and that was what people knew us by the American school or GTE teachers, not necessarily the AIM or Anabaptist International Ministries. So first of all, like I said, we're gonna have a little trivia. Who likes trivia? I hope you do. First of all, in the world, where's Poland? What continent?
Europe.
Thank you. Okay, we got some smart folks here. Let's bring it closer. Here's Europe. What color? Take a few seconds here. What color is Poland? Raise your hand if you want to guess, please. Go for it, sir.
Blue.
The blue one. Okay, he studied his geography. Yes, it is Poland. Good. Now let's go further. What surrounds Poland? We have at the north here, this right here is the Baltic Sea. The Baltic Sea is gray. It's lovely. It doesn't really warm up there. But we have the sea there. What country is first of all to the left in the green there? Anybody? Germany. Great. And what about the purple or the orange over here? Not quite. Good guess.
Ukraine.
Okay, Ukraine. Good is the orange one here, and the purple one before I put it on the... Sorry?
Belarus.
Yeah, it is Belarus. Good. So we have Belarus and Ukraine, and the southern two countries. Sounds like you guys... I've done this presentation, or somewhat of this presentation, different churches, and not many people have gotten this far, so you guys are doing quite well. Anybody know the countries below Poland? The two countries surrounding the southern side. Which one?
Yellow.
The yellow one, okay. And the red one would be then? It used to be not Czech Republic, but what? It used to be Czechoslovakia, right? Then it split, so we got Czech Republic, and then we got Slovakia there. Sorry, there we are. Okay, so that's where we are. And like I said, basically, Poland right here is in the area kind of close to Russia. Polish people, I'll probably say this again, Polish people do not like Russians. It's just how it is, and you can't change their mindset. We're going to talk a little bit about food. Tonight, I should have said this at the beginning, tonight I'll just say a little bit about my experiences and show you a little bit of culture, Polish culture, some things that I had to get used to, and if you would ever visit, then you would be up on your game and you could quickly fit in. And then also talk about the main thing, which was teaching that I did, and kind of one word that I want to stick or keep in our minds tonight, and we'll get to that one word later on then. So, going back to this map right here, first of all, or second of all, whatever number I'm at by now, Poland here is very close to the other countries, very influenced by other countries. There was a time in the Polish culture, or in the Polish nation, in their time frame, that there actually was no Poland. And Polish people are very proud of these 200 years, roughly, 200 years that Poland did not exist. It did not exist, but they're very proud of their, one thing is that their language survived. So they're proud that for 200 years their language survived, and they're proud of another thing, which was that they conquered Moscow during one of their wars. And I did a quick, I forgot to look this number up again right before I came, but there was a certain time frame, I believe it was 40-year time frame, where they had around like 65 battles or wars. And Poland was a great place to fight over, reason being it's very flat, and it was very fertile soil, and every country wanted it. It was kind of like the breadbasket, kind of the center of the United States. And so it was a country that was always fought over all through its years ago, back ways into centuries, and that's how it was. Constantly, constantly fought over there. Okay, trivia number two. Which flag is the Polish flag? We'll give you a few minutes or seconds here, then you can just raise your hand with the number you think it is. 3, 2, 1, showing your hand, what number you think it is. I see some fives. Anybody else can guess differently? Okay, it is the fifth one there, good. The first one being, which one? The Russian, good. We got the number two would be?
Italy,
good. And we got the Austrian flag, number three, German flag, number four, and the French flag, number six there. So Polish flag number five is red and white. And you'll hear this chanted whenever there is, you know, a football or a soccer match. This is like shouted, or when there's protests on the street saying, you know, we want our country, we want us, you know, strong, we want to be brave. They'll be chanting red and white, red and white, over and over again. Okay? This is just a map here, a Google picture of Poland. And Poland is about the size of New Mexico, if you want to think of size of the United States. It's about roughly the same amount of cubic miles. So New Mexico, Poland, so it is roughly very small. Right here, this dot right there is Mińsk Mazowiecki. That is the town I lived in. It's about the size of Ephrata, if you want to think of that size there, give or take a few. But that's kind of what I would liken it to in mileage there. So Mińsk Mazowiecki is about 40 kilometers from Warsaw. Warsaw is the capital, and a quick little train ride over to Warsaw, about 45 minutes to an hour. Train or driving will get you to the capital. So I spent some of my free days going to the capital. There's, you know, the old town, we'll have some pictures of that there. And just, you know, relaxing, watching people. I love to watch people, so I got my fill of it there too. So whenever I needed just a break from our town, I'll just, you know, go to hop the train and go to Warsaw. Most of our people in our town, in Mińsk Mazowiecki, would have been working in Warsaw. And that's the reason our English school, there's actually three English schools in our town, and they all did very well. The reason being that most of our people went to Warsaw to work, and working in the capital, you need to know English, you know, to communicate. So English would be the universal language, or the international language as well, because you communicate, you say with Germany, or do you speak German? No, but Germans speak English, you speak English, so you communicate in English. So that's the reason that some of my students, they did business with other countries, and they needed to know English to do their business. And that's why English was so important there. So in Poland, how do they what is transportation like? Well, we have it here in America too, but in Poland, in Europe in general, it's just trains. There's lots of trains everywhere. I just quickly went through my photos, grabbed some photos of trains. This is probably the newest one that hit the market right before I left, which is a double decker. And it, you know, was a more of a high speed train. And while I was there, the first year I lived there, so I lived in Poland 2.5 years, and when I first moved there, they came out with the Pendolino, and that's the fast train. And the Poles are so excited about this. You can go from Warsaw, let's go back to the map here, you go from Warsaw to Gdańsk, which is another major city, in roughly an hour and a half, 2 hours, or down from Warsaw all the way down to Kraków, and again, 2 hour time frame. So again, really connecting it. These trains right here would be the ones that go slower. For example, going up to the sea could take up to 5 hours, 6 hours. I was already in a town in the south, and it should have been just, you know, a 3 hour train ride. But with, you know, the whole, they have delays as well, and it ended up being a 7 hour trip. And it was during the winter, and Polish people love heat. They hate the cold. And so in your little box car, that should only fit like 6 people, they do 8 people. And so your knees are like in between everybody else's knees, and there's bags and coats everywhere, and they crank up the heat, and it's just sweltering hot in there. And yeah, many stories about the trains there. You're supposed to buy your tickets before you get on the train. Something, the first weekend I moved there, you could say the seniority teacher, or the lady that was there the longest, she still didn't feel very confident about ordering tickets. And because in our town there was different kinds of trains that stopped or went through our town, she thought she got the right ticket, but we got on the wrong train. And my first weekend there, which was been like 4 days after I moved, I got to watch a quote-unquote argument between my co-teacher and this train conductor trying to check our tickets, and she was getting confused. He didn't want to speak English. He said, we're in Poland, like he said in Polish. I learned later that we're in Poland, you speak Polish. And that was kind of the idea of some of the about 35-year-old and older folks. If they were 35 years or older and they were very stuck in Polish culture, they would say, you know, we're in Poland, you speak Polish, we don't want to learn English. And so we had Polish people are kind of, they're very, you could say, cold, and they would not show the friendship until they learned or earned your trust. So that was one thing that I had to learn as well. Poland, there's some famous folks here. Let's go ahead and see what you know about Poland, the famous folks here. I'm sure you recognize that man right there, John Paul II. Pope John Paul II was Polish. Polish people are very proud of him because of the great works that he had did. Any idea who this lady here is? She was the first lady to win the Nobel Prize. Actually, she won it twice. the first lady in the world, and she was Polish. And she won the Nobel Prize twice, and she worked with radioactive products, including x-rays and such. Any idea? First name was Marie, or Maria. I forget her last name right now, but she worked with that. And this man right there, any ideas? Any musicians in here? Anybody know a famous musician from Poland, the piano? Chopin. This is Chopin here. And his heart, don't ask me why, but in the main church, in the main Catholic church in Warsaw, in one of the pillars is buried his heart. So his heart is buried inside the pillar. Remember, you go there, there's a plaque, and there's always a heart flower bouquet right at the pillar as well, and it says, here lies the heart of Chopin, Frederick Chopin. Okay, and this man right here, another famous Polish man, he said that the sun is in the center of the universe, not the earth. Who is this man? Science. No? No? Copernicus. This is Copernicus here. Copernicus was born in Poland, lived there many years, and so they take, he did move away to Germany some, and he was around. But because he was born in Poland, they say he is Polish. This right here is our president. This coming year, they're going to hold re-elections again. Andrzej Duda is his name, President Duda. And if you're Polish, you have to know this man right here. This is our famous football player, or soccer player. And his name, any soccer fans in here? Okay, his last name is Lewandowski. So if you hear Robert Lewandowski, that's this man right here, very famous. Gets traded around to different teams, but Polish people are very proud of him. And if you're a true Polish guy, you have a Lewandowski jersey, part of your wardrobe. So just famous people that come from Poland, and Polish people love to talk about how they're from Poland. Polish is Slavic. Anybody speak Russian or Ukrainian or another Slavic language? Okay. Slavic language, even though they're all different, Russian and Ukrainian, they're different. We can still understand each other. Polish is Slavic as well. And I just gave a little preview here of how it sounds. So at the bottom here says in English what it says. So hello is Cześć. Mam na imię Derby Martin i cieszę się, że tu jestem. Which means, actually literally means that, I'm happy that I can be here. So that is that. So it's a lot of zhuzh, and it's something you gotta get used to, and it's lovely. Another sentence there, because some people like to hear it. The English being, I taught English when I lived in Poland. Uczyłem po angielsku, kiedy mieszkałem w Polsce. And that's all it sounds there. And Polish, statistically, is said to be the second hardest language in the world. I don't think it is. Once you start studying it, once you break it down, it doesn't actually feel that hard. For example, Cześć, which means hello, goodbye, it's a greeting. If I meet you on the street, I know you, I say Cześć. If I don't know you, I just say, like, good day, dzień dobry. But Cześć is very easy. So if you break it down, it's just Cz, Cz, Cz. And you just put it all together, Cześć, okay? And so when you break it down, it's like, how can it be the second hardest language in the world? Table, for the word for table is stool, just like you sit on a stool. For a pen is długopis, and balloon is balon. So again, it sounds different, looks different, but once you start studying it, I don't think it's that hard. But again, it just takes time, it takes practice. For example, one way to show the hardness would be, for example, the number two. Here in America, or in English, I should say, we have, you know, the word two. Double, twice. Are there other words that mean two? Like T-W-O. Okay, I could only think of three offhand right now. In Polish, there's 47 different ways of saying two. It all depends on people, like who you're saying it to, who I am that's saying it, time of day, time of place, what order of, you know, society they're in, and just kind of the ending. So 47 compared to, what, three we came up with. It takes time. It just takes, you know, memory work, and it happens. But that's how it is. Slavic is a hard, yes, but any language is hard. You just need to apply yourself, and you can go for it. What I say, some people ask, you know, are you fluent? And I say, no, I'm not, necessarily. I'm not, period. I can communicate. I feel well. I travel by myself. I don't care. I can do well at markets, at shops. But they would say a normal Polish person is not completely fluent until they're 27 years of age. And so I said, well, why do I even try? 2.5 years and a 27-year-old. I felt like I did well. Right when I got there, I did a week of just, you know, one of the ladies from church just met with her and just communicate with her a little bit. And then throughout the first year, I met about 2 or 3 times a week. I met for an hour with another teacher and just learned Polish and, of course, studied. And for me, I found the best way was just, you know, go to market, go to shops, try to communicate something. And, yeah, they'll laugh at you. Who cares? You just got to laugh with them. And they'll say, amerykański. Yep, I'm American. And it's fine. It's just part of it. Poland, though, does have a very interesting but tragic history, and I just want to briefly talk about some of the interesting things for me. I'm sure you recognize this right here. The German, anybody speak German? Okay, so I was going to attempt to say it in German, but I was like, well, if someone here speaks German, I'll let you guys speak it. Auf Wied macht frei, I think is how you say it in German. This is the camp called Auschwitz. You've heard of the camp, yes? You've heard of Camp Auschwitz, a concentration camp during World War II. And this is the entrance to Auschwitz I, and this is in southern Poland, and it's there, and I've been there many times, and I don't know if I can say I like going there. It's a different feel than going to like the Holocaust Museum around in the States here, just for the fact that you're walking. It's not so much a museum there, but it's like you're walking where they walked, and you're seeing the buildings that where they were, and you're seeing, you know, the gas chamber where people were killed. And it's very solemn, and every time I go, like I take groups there, or friends, or family, or we'd have different groups coming over there to Poland, and we would go down there, and every time I'd hear a different story, like a prisoner's story, and how they came to the camp, and it was very touching, and yet it was kind of like, you know, this is life for them. And Polish people, nowadays, of course, we don't have anybody living that went through it necessarily, but I mean, we don't, period. But we have, you know, grandparents, older grandparents that have went through the communist times, which was right after World War II, and stories, just full of stories, and this is one of their stories. It's actually part of the student requirement in Poland that you take a trip with your school down to Auschwitz there, just because they don't want anybody to forget what happened there at the concentration camp. So a lot of stories I could say, but for time's sake, we're just gonna continue on there. This right here, to the right of Auschwitz. This is the old city of Warsaw, and this is actually a duplicate, you could say, of what it used to look like. During World War II, you'll see here right at the very edge, there's a brick layer right here and a brick layer right there, and the lines go down through. And these lines right there represent the wall. There were two walls that went around the whole old city. It was a very small city. If you start at this side and go off to the other, you could probably do it in 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, I'm not sure. Actually, at least five. It's a small old town. And what happened during World War II, towards the end of it, there was the Warsaw Uprising. And again, if you're Polish, you have to know about the Warsaw Uprising. It's when the Polish people say, you know what, we have enough of these Germans. And they set a time, they communicated, and with the uprisers, I guess you could say, and they all wore a patch on the arm that had a W and a P actually for the Polish words for Warsaw Uprising. But they had a patch on their shoulder, and at a certain time, whenever they gave the call, they were going to barricade themselves here inside this old city, and they were going to fight off the Germans, fight them out of Warsaw, fight them out of our country, fight them out of our city, and we're just done with them. And they picked a day. They had like 3 month time to start stockpiling, but of course they really didn't have anything to stockpile. But they stole from the Germans, stole ammunition and such. And they picked a day when the Russians, on this side, right across from this building here, down the little hill, there's the Wisła River. And they knew the Russians were coming from the other side of the river. Okay, so the Germans were around here, and the Polish people knew that the Russians were just across the river, a few kilometers away. So they gave the signal during the night. They barricaded themselves inside the city, And they started fighting off the Germans. Of course, what do the Germans do? Give up? No, absolutely not. They surround the town, okay? So they surround these double walls, and they try to go in, but the Polish keep them off. And of course, Germans said, okay, well, you guys are in there, that's fine, but you're surrounded. There's no food going in, there's nothing coming out, so we're just gonna hold you there, okay? And of course, like I said, they had the Polish people had stolen ammunition from the Germans, so they had some ammunition there. So they could fight the Germans, keep the Germans out of their city, or their small old town city, you could say. And this went on for a month, okay? And of course, for a month, you know, food was running out completely. How did they communicate? Well, actually, children, roughly 10 years and younger, they would put them into the sewer pipes and down to the tunnels, and they would go down under the Germans, basically, and out a few kilometers and then pop up. And that's how they would communicate with the rest of the Polish people. And they had actually written a letter a month into it when they were starving, and they said, you know what, do we just give up? Or, you know, we can look out, we can look right here, we can overlook the river, and we can see the Russians right there. Why are they not coming? Well, the Russians were actually smart, not the Russians, but the USSR, and they were smart in that they were just waiting, and they were waiting until the Germans got weak, they were waiting until the Polish got weak, and then a month and a few weeks later, a few days later, the Russians just came in and just totally wiped out everybody. And of course, this whole time, Germany was, you know, sometimes bombing the old town here. And by the end of that month and a quarter, this whole city, the old town, was totally flat. Most of Warsaw, actually, the capital was flat, and it was almost unrecognizable. There are just a few buildings that are true buildings that have stayed there ever since they were built, you know, a century or two ago. So again, Polish uprising is a very deep part of them that said, for Polish people, because they said, you know what, we took a stand, we wanted to do what was right for our country, and they would love to talk about, or love to talk to the foreigners about this time where they took a stand. Again, beautiful, I love old towns, why? Just colorful, I love colorful buildings, architecture, they got Dutch influence, they got different influences inside their architecture, and I love it. And then this right here is from our town as well, and this represents, for me, this represents communism. Communism was right after World War II for many years, for a few decades. And as you can see, buildings just went up very plain, very blah. In our town, they actually started painting these buildings just to brighten it up. And they're very similar. Everything's the same. And yet, one thing that the Polish people have still contained or still kept from the communist times is their schedules. For example, children don't go to school, you know, from 8 to 3. They'll go to school from, you know, 7:30. To 9, and then from maybe 11:30 to 1, and then, you know, 3 to 4, and then maybe 6 to 7 again. And again, so they have all these different time frames. They're going to school, and mom is going to work, because in communist times, they would never have the family together, never have them together and at home. So mom would work, and then children would come home, then mom would come home, dad would leave for work, and it was just a full mixing bowl type thing of schedules. And that's kind of what Polish people still do. They don't like to sit around, you could say. They don't like just do nothing at home or just relax at the park. They like to, you know, be in this club, be in this sport, and do this, do that, just because that's what they're kind of used to. And another thing that feels to me that about communism, and I think it's just part of their culture, is, for example, waiting in line at shops, at a store. For example, here in the States, you don't want to get too close. If you bump them, they might look at you a little strange. But in Poland, that's normal. It's normal to have someone always up against you. And I put it back, or what we put it back to, was the whole, during communism times, where they weren't sure they're going to get their food. And so they would, you know, push in line, we have to get our food. We have to get our stamps and our rations. And so we kind of put that there. And so very tight. One thing I had to get used to was talking to people. Here we get, you know, semi-close. Well, they're like, their face is here. Like, they love close talking, and it's a little claustrophobic at first. It's just something you have to get used to. Especially if you're not a fan of garlic smelling bodies. It was something I had to get used to. Just very tight, very close, and very inside my bubble as an American. But again, interesting, yet tragic for most of them there. This right here is just a picture. Right in the center of Warsaw is it's called the Palace of Science. Nauki is science and science and culture. And this was built by the order of Stalin. Stalin said, "I want this built." And a building like this was built in every country that Stalin was in, that communism was in. And there's a man from our church, and there's many people in Poland that do not like this building. They say it's like a sword sticking up in the air because it was built by Stalin, it was built by the communism. They don't like it. For me, I think it's kind of cool. I think it's a neat building. There's an observation deck up top there, and you can kind of see out of Warsaw. And then, of course, you can see the modern buildings around there. And Warsaw and Poland in general is becoming modern. Their economy is booming right now. They're in the process of joining the EU. Actually, when I lived there in 2016, they were supposed to completely join, change their currency to the EU. But you know, they still currently still have their złoty, which is their currency, and they were supposed to join, just everything join. But going back to the president, President Duda, his party has said no, we're Poland, let's stay Polish. They like that starting to join the EU benefited their economy, and their economy is booming yet, which is trade all around the European Union. But they haven't completely changed over just because their party says, hey, we want to be Polish, we're Polish, let's not forget who we are. So again, modern, it's around there. But let's go back to my town. My town, my home. I kind of, as I grow up, I kind of have different places as home. And Minsk Mazowiecki is one of my homes. This is about half of the town here. This street right here is called Warszawska. And that's actually where I lived along. Right here is this building. And I'll show you a picture of this building later on here soon. This building right on the other side is my apartment building. I lived on the fifth, okay, technically in English should be the sixth floor, yeah. Because they count the first floor as like one. So, like, did I say that wrong? They say it's one higher than what it actually is. So I said that wrong. It's actually the fourth floor. So it's the fifth floor of the building, fourth technically. But anyway, this right here is the church. Of course, Polish, the religion is Catholic. It's very dominant Catholic. And we'll hear a little bit more about that then. Warszawska right here, this way is Warsaw. This way right here is to Moscow. And so basically, if you would stay on this road right here, you could either get through Warsaw, toward Berlin, or you could go all the way to Moscow on that road. And one of my friends actually drove this road the whole way to Moscow, just to say he did. I love the colorful rooftops as you fly in. It's one thing. I remember when I first went to Poland, the first things I noticed was the colorful rooftops there. Just pictures from our town. This is our palace here. Many people, summertime, they'll hang out by the fountains, and every hour or so they'll play, when it gets dark, they'll play music and have lights, and just socializing, calming, relaxing there. This is a new building I never saw yet. They completed it when I've been back in the States for a year and a half roughly. And this is the music center. So I'm excited about that. This right here is my favorite lady in market. She's my babushka, my grandma. She loves when us Americans will come. And whenever we take like a choir, we have a choir comes. The folk singers like Jewel was on and Eddie was as well. We take them to a market and we always go to the pickle lady, we call her the pickle lady. Or Grandma Pickle Lady, I guess that's how you say it in English. And she served the most awesome garlic dill pickles. They are just the bomb, the greatest. Ice cream, I gotta have a Soprano Lolde, a big ice cream in our town. This right here is November 1st, which is All Saints Day. This is where, in the evening, you'll go around to all your relatives and light a candle for their soul. And it's a very gloom, like a gloom topic. But it's really actually interesting walking around, seeing them go, light a candle, say a prayer, go to the next ancestor, light candles. So the graveyard's just full, it just like glows. It's really amazing, if I can say that, even though it's a depressing atmosphere there too. And they're all wax, cheap candles, and so you walk into the cemeteries, it's like that smell of cheap wax burning. But it's interesting culture. Polish favorites, we'll fly quickly through the food, just because I know people like food here. These are the staples. First of all, you have cabbage, you have wąski. Wąski is a cabbage leaf that has meat and like rice ground together, and then the cabbage leaf wrapped around it. It's stewed, and then you put a tomato paste or sauce over top. We have kielbasa, our sausage, a very famous Polish sausage, and of course, pierogi. So as you can see, starches is very, very common. This right here is something I have to get used to. It's a cold soup. It's a cold beet soup. It's nasty. It's okay. This is žurek. Žurek is just used white sausage with eggs, and it's okay. This is zabiekanka, which is like a pizza roll or pizza type thing, where you put, you know, corn, cabbage, mushrooms, and then ketchup and mayo on top. These are great. Povorki. Povorki is just a little dough. It means like an angel's breath, and it's just very just light and flaky. It's a dessert. Bakelets, counted out, they always have bakelets, amazing stuff. This right here would be poppy seeds. They're very famous for their poppy seeds and gingerbread. And of course, every day, Polish people, you do not keep bread in your house. Every day you go to the shop. This is Gromoski. Gromoski is my favorite shop. It smells so good when you walk in. Fresh bread every day. That's where you go. You don't keep bread at your house. You don't keep really anything in your fridge. You just go and just go to the shop every single day. So instead of, you know, packing your students' lunch, you just tell them to go to the shop and get a piece of roll, tomato, cheese, and you have lunch right there. So that right there is there, and just desserts. The dessert, this isn't the best show here, but desserts are just very, very great, very immaculate. On to a little bit about our school here, then I'm going to show a video next here. Our school is where I was at most of all, and the one word I want you to remember right here is friendship and relationships. Actually, I want you to remember relationship, wrong word. The value and importance of human connection was one thing that I really wanted to do when I was over there in Poland. I wanted to connect with people, and the only way you connect is really with relationships. And a quote here by James Comer says, "No significant learning can occur without a significant relationship." And I think this is very true, because if you don't build a relationship with your student, with my English students, even though my youngest student was around 4 years old, and my oldest student was 72, I would do one-on-ones, I would do small groups, large groups, and no matter who they were, what age, it was all about, you know, finding that relationship. That way I could build, you know, building that relationship, and then also help with their learning. Why? Because they trust me. They say, they understand that what I'm saying is true here. These are our secretaries here. This is another one of my grandmas, Ella. She always made sure we had food. She would come in, she doesn't speak English, she just speaks Polish, and she doesn't care if you don't understand it. She'll get behind you, rub your shoulders, talk to you, give you food, say eat, eat, eat. She knows eat in English, she knows that one quite well. And she just makes sure she gets very, if she's not sure that if we're a little upset or a little anxious about a class, then she gets a little nervous too, and she's always has her back. And Marzena here, Marzena is a great friend, a true Christian, and a lady that's really seeking God's heart, and she's really blessed our school, and just communicating with our students as the secretary there. Just two quotes here about teachers here. Again, teachers can have a huge impact, and teachers can also leave a legacy of relationships. And I don't know if I did leave a legacy of relationships, but I feel that as I go through life, I can, you know, continually talk to those people that I met over there and became friends with there. These are just the teachers that I was with here. I don't know if you recognize any of them there, but we'll just continue on right here. Another thing is that teaching and learning, like it says right there, teaching and learning should bring joy, and that's what I hoped, that's what I wanted in my classroom, is that I wanted happiness, I wanted joy and peace there. Here's the video of our school that our school put together, so hopefully you can hear it.
Hi, how are you? I'm fine, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, thanks. My name is Kuba. What's your name?
My name is Asia. It's a pleasure to meet you.
So, tell me about yourself.
I work at a bank in Minsk Mazowiecki.
I am a tennis coach. I travel around the world at tennis competition.
I study English so that I can be an actress in Hollywood.
I am learning taekwondo and I have red belt. Don't mess with me!
I am a professional chef. I travel the world as a culinary judge.
I am 6. I love my brother.
I am a teacher. I really love geography.
I am a wife and mother of 2 kids. We plan to move to Belgium, where my husband will be working.
I am a swimming coach. I can teach you how to swim.
So what are some things you enjoy doing?
I love skiing with my father, even if he is slow.
I like making sushi. Pretty good for
there is nothing quite like grass in nature.
What is significant about Poland?
Poland is one of the oldest nations in Europe.
We are proud of our long-lasting history and culture. Did you know that we conquered Moscow in 1612?
I am proud of my country. Poland was home to many Jews who suffered greatly during World War II.
It is a very religious country, with a large majority of Poles being nominal Catholics.
Unfortunately, many people don't have personal relationship with Jesus.
Poles are hardworking, industrious people who want to be responsible for citizens.
I really like studying at Kingwood English. It's such a happy place.
Among my teacher, I felt safe to make mistakes. This is the first place where I really saw the love of Jesus.
Being here is like a therapy for me. I can face difficulties better because I can experience the presence of Jesus here.
Teaching English is an enjoyable way to build relationships with lots of great people. It is an ongoing opportunity to share God's love with others.
I really enjoy the varied conversations I am able to have with my students. Listening to them gives me a broader perspective on life.
I love teaching young teens and taking on the challenge of channeling their energy in ways that will benefit their life and pray that it will impact their eternal destiny.
It's so rewarding when I can feel trust and relationship with my students and also to see them build relationships among each other.
One of the most difficult things I face here is learning a tough language like Polish while trying to teach English.
To see someone finding hope in Jesus, that is so incredible. That is what we pray for.
And like he ended there, the big thing is, of course, when people come to Jesus, that's why we're there. Yes, many of my days, 5-6 days a week, I taught English. Morning till night, it's just what we did. Yes, we had a few breaks. Students would come for an hour or two, and I had breaks, but it was that connection, it was that relationship that was very important to me, and one that I really, really appreciated there. I'll just do some pictures about school here quickly, and just talk a little bit about, I should show this candle right here, by the way. I love Polish candles. It's a huge flame, and it sparkles, and it's awesome. But anyway, we're involved in church. We had our own church as well, I'll go back to the pictures, sorry. I brought groups back to the States here. I know some of you were involved with that as well. Again, these are people I feel like I'm most connected with. Why? Because I took time with them and really built on that there. This is our church, Agape Mennonite Church here. And this is during Easter. We get up early, of course, and have our Easter service. And it's a small church. We meet actually in the school. So one of the school walls is a curtain. We open the curtain, set up chairs, and we pack in there. Again, it's a very small church, 25, 30 people, with the fluctuating members that attend there. Again, it's Slavic, so you see, of course, the kerchiefs or the scarves on their heads. That's normal. And this is something we do every summer. It's a family camp. We invite Christians from around Poland, which is about 3% of the population. We invite them for a family camp. We have an English speaker come in and share with them. We were also involved in Seed of Truth, which is distributing magazines throughout the country and Germany as well as Ukraine, and just talking about Jesus and his salvation for us there. We also have Hope Singers. Let's quickly wrap this up. Hope Singers, which is the choir tour. We also did summer camps. Every summer I would do about 3 to 4 different summer camps. Of course, what did I do? I taught English. So I'd have, roughly 200 children come through in a 6-hour time frame and just teach them English, play games, and they have fly swatters, pictures, you just be dynamic and crazy, and it's a lot of fun. And again, just going to different towns would invite this group around to do day camps, and so I would go along and teach English. I had lots of connections now in different cities, and I just love it. It's all about that connection for me. So again, I know I need to stop here, but I really appreciate your attention, and if you have any questions, I'll gladly answer them now or sometime in the past. So thanks again for your attention. I hope I gave you a little insight into what Poland is to me. I love it, and I get caught up in telling the stories. But again, it's always back to that relationship with my students, and that was what was really important to me. So thanks for listening. Uh, Okay, so I've been back a year and a half, and I was back in March. I was homesick, and I said I want to go back. So in March, I had Golden Rule watch for tickets, and for a short weekend, 4 days to be exact, I was over there. So it was a packed full morning to night meeting my students, and I plan to go back this summer as well, July 16th actually. I'm going to go on the Hope Choir tour again, do some translating for them, they said, and it'll be a great time for me just to go around and visit these cities that I love. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you again.